We welcome Carrie Kish for some great day hikes in the state of Maine.
Some of those hikes can be fairly rugged. Even going up over Beehive can be fairly rugged.
Well, you make a good point. You know, those we call them ladder trails. You know, where you ascend the steep faces of the mountains, there must be 20 or more of those on the island at least. And the precipice is the most well-known. Of course, that's closed right now because the peregrine falcons are nesting. But those ladder trails are incredible. You know, they've got iron rungs and ladders and handrails and railings. It's amazing. And those have been here for over 100 years. And never mind the stonework, the stone steps. A lot of that work was done turn of the century, you know, 1800s into the 1900s. It's just incredible. You know, we had the village improvement societies, if you will, and they did all that early trail work before there was ever an AMC or anybody else like that to build trails. And those trails, for the most part, have endured to this day. And it's incredible. So when you're hiking here, you not only have beautiful scenery, but you're working on what I feel are just works of art. And I feel like a broken record sometimes, but we're so lucky to have Acadia. And the work of the philanthropists, the land trusts, the conservation organizations goes up and down the coast and inland. What we have preserved in this state of Maine is mind-boggling. It's a real gift.
And so your book, The Best Day Hikes on the Maine Coast, am I just too centered on MDI to suggest that a lot of those best day hikes have to be right there on the island?
Well, yes and no. I made a point. I wrote that book from scratch 5 years ago, and I'm actually working on the next edition, which will include 10 new different hikes. I made a point, it was part of the deal I made with the publisher was to really spread out those hikes geographically from, you know, southern York County all the way up to Quoddy Head at Lubec. I wanted to introduce hikers, outdoor enthusiasts, to as many different areas with a good hike from one end of the coast to the other. And so, to your point, only four of the hikes in the book are on Mount Desert Island in Acadia National Park. I'm adding a fifth one, that Landed Garden Preserve, on this next edition.
But that's all that we have for the time today, and I thank you very much for being on the program, Carrie.
A real pleasure, David. Happy to talk outdoors and Maine hiking anytime.
Medicare is so confusing. I didn't know where to get help, but I wouldn't call a plumber in Arizona to fix my pipes in Maine. So don't call some out-of-state 800 number to navigate Medicare plans when your help is right here at home. The Senior Planning Center represents all Medicare Health and Part D plans. They have trusted professional experts in every county. You should call them for your free Medicare review.
Call 223-6565 today. That's 223-6565.
Lynn, our next guest is the founder of Community Pharmacies, and he actually founded Community Pharmacies back in 1998 with some other pharmacists. Joe Bruno is his name. He served the Maine legislature for some 5 terms, served as Republican leader for 2 terms. He's been a selectman in Raymond for 12 years, also served on the Raymond School Committee while being the town meeting moderator. I don't know where he finds time to do all this and run a pharmacy, but we're going to find out. For 10 years, he was the president of the Maine Board of Pharmacy and also served as the chair of the Darago Health Trust. Joe's taught pharmacy law at the University of New England for 7 years. And Joe Bruno, welcome to Senior Power.
Well, thank you, David. Glad to be with you.
Community Pharmacies is a preferred provider of the Senior Planning Center for durable medical equipment. Joe, could you expound on that?
I am going to turn this over to my favorite DME person, Michelle, who works for us and has been with me since we started this company. So she was actually with me at another company, and she stuck around with me. I don't know. I must be too easy to work for. But anyway, Michelle can answer that question for you.
Great job.
Hi there.
Hi, Michelle.
I'm stubborn, because I'm still with him. So, yes, we've been doing durable medical equipment for roughly 7 years. The nice part about how we manage that with all of our locations is it's drop shipped directly to the patient's home. There really is not a whole lot of inventory within the stores, although we can have it available there. However, to make it easier on people, especially during the pandemic, we were able to drop ship directly to their homes and just let them, you know, not have to worry about going out into the public.
A great convenience to ship directly to their homes. That is just fantastic. And what are the most common things that you see with some of our seniors, the types of most frequently used durable medical equipment?
So currently, we are able to provide incontinence supplies, so diapers and pull-ups, bed pads, things like that. We also do a lot of ostomy supplies, urological, canes, crutches, etc. Some of those items we do have to dispense within the store. However, the majority of those are drop-shipped directly to their home.
Yeah, now that is really a great convenience. And, you know, some of us, I think, you know, would like to be able to age in place, stay at home as long as absolutely possible, and I think more so because of COVID. And don't get me wrong, I mean, obviously, you know, we're lucky in Maine. We've got some pretty decent retirement villages, assisted living, and even nursing homes, and it's in part due to the fact that we have an older population. But as much as possible, people do want to stay at home and age in place. And I think that's become more of an issue moving forward, not less of one. Are there other things that you have relative to durable medical equipment that can help seniors stay in their homes longer?
We currently are in network with Martins Point, United Healthcare, Humana, and we're currently building our Medicare Advantage plan to include more of the third parties that will help seniors have access to this care. We're able to send a drop shipment to anyone within the state, and we now have a nice referral source with Senior Planning Center, and they're more than willing to also help us in transitioning people that may have extra care available to them, but they don't know that at this point. So at this point, we would really like to focus on the people that have the higher co-pays and deductibles and see if we can get them in touch with a referral source such as Senior Planning Center so that they can help them sort of transition and see if there's some extra assistance for them.
Let's not forget, David, that there's also things like bathtub safety bars and bathtub seats, things that make your life a lot easier. So, yeah, one thing with seniors is falling down. And there are many things out there that can, you know, assist you in not falling down. So those are all available, too.
Oh, I'd be interested in that. I live with my 92-year-old mother. I moved back in almost 3 years ago now to take care of her. And we went through a rough winter, and because we have a lot of that durable medical equipment at the home, you know, the seat and the shower and walkers, because she, with her medication, she'd be a little loopy and things like that. She's doing much better, but still at 92, she's slowing down and gets a little unsteady on her feet. Is there other devices than a walker?
There's a rollator that has a seat and basket attachment. That is another option.
Okay, yeah, I think we have just, you know, the regular old standard gray walker and then the rolling one with the handbrakes and the seat.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
But as far as bathroom accessories, there's also raised toilet seats, toilet seat railings, bath benches, transfer benches for the bathtub so that they can transition easily from inside to outside the bathtub with assistance. There are a lot of examples of things that people have access to that they're unaware of. I encourage people often to give me a call just to see if it's something that they're eligible for. And if not, then we can always work with them on a cash basis as well.
Okay. Is there? Do you guys have somebody that goes into the home to assess what they need, or is that usually done?
Unfortunately, no, not right now. No. We don't have anyone that's available to be able to go into the homes, set up, maintain, and take down hospital beds and things of that nature.
Okay.
You know, it's interesting though that the variety of things that you have, because I don't know if most people think that their local community pharmacy you know, would have all the kinds of equipment that you do have. I mean, I primarily think, maybe most people do, of pharmacies as drug stores. And you think of the pharmaceuticals, you don't think sometimes of all the other equipment. And I think that that kind of an offering is really the kind of thing that people need if they want their grandparents or parents or they personally just want to age in place and stay home as long as they possibly can, which I think is the lowest cost solution. And I think it's also in the best interest of people to stay home as long as they can. One of the issues, though, that you touched upon during COVID was people not wanting to be out and about as often. So to have a local community pharmacy right near them so they don't have to travel into the cities, into Portland or into Bangor or what have you, certainly does make sense. It seems that was part of your formula, wasn't it, Joe, to make sure you get the pharmacy closer to where the people are?
Absolutely. Yeah, most of our pharmacists live right in the community, so they're local, and, you know, they want to help. Our pharmacists want to help. All people need to do is ask, and we are willing to help. You know, if they don't know the answer, they can call Michelle, and Michelle will, you know, speak to the customer, and we can solve many problems. You're not going to find our kind of service, which makes us different, in the big chain stores. They're too busy without enough help, where we will go out of our way to make sure that we please our customer and make sure they get what they need.
Well, to your point, Joe, I don't think anybody from the Walmarts or Walgreens were making personal visits to people's homes to help with vaccinations, were they?
None that I'm aware of, let's say that. And I went to so many homes, and, you know, people were so grateful that I would do it. But, yeah, I just felt it was my responsibility to help as much as I can as being a vaccinating pharmacist. And it really was a great relief for them to get vaccinated, and it was great satisfaction for me to do it.
Am I right, too, that deliveries not or drop ship orders of durable medical equipment isn't the only thing that you can ship? You can ship out the meds as well, the prescriptions as well?
Yes, we can. We can ship our medications if needed. We have some delivery services in some areas.
Well, I'm thinking that hopefully just a few seniors that are listening to this today that realize it makes more sense, when possible, to give the business to the local and community pharmacy. Michelle, what would be a good phone number for them to use to reach out to community pharmacy?
They can reach me directly at 207-621-0698, and I'm at extension 214. The goal for us is to make easy access for the customers. So the way that we go about processing these orders for people when they call us, we do reach out to the doctor's office. We do work with the family. We're the center place. So once they talk to us, we do then handle the rest.
Well, fantastic. That's Joe Bruno and Michelle Dufour of Community Pharmacies, our community pharmacy right here in Maine. So if you want that local attention and service, just dial 207-621-0698 and extension 212 for Joe and 214 for Michelle. Thanks again for being on today.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. We really appreciate it.
Hey, Lynn, do you know what most people on the Senior Power Radio program have in common?
Sure. They're either seniors or they work with seniors.
Bingo. How'd you get that for junior partner? That's good.
Excuse me, David. I'm a senior partner.
Oh, speaking of the senior partners, do you know that it's because of our senior partners that Maine has one of the highest volunteer rates in the nation and is considered very generous with its philanthropy, even though it's a relatively lower income state? And on top of that, are most involved in civic organizations. Indeed, it is our senior partners that allow towns and cities throughout the state of Maine to have that community feel.
And we need our seniors to stay in the game. And next we have Diane Walsh. She's the Executive Director of the Eastern Area Agency on Aging, and she's here to talk about the new Durgan Center.
Yeah, we're really excited about this. This is a project that, I mean, for me, I have been working on for years. Our entire team has really been working on this. As you said, for the greater, you know, Bangor Brewer community, with, you know, within a, I would say, a 20-mile radius of that area, there is a huge demand for social connection and, you know, activities to be out there and do things in the community, to have a meal with somebody, to get some exercise, all of those things. And so we have been working, you know, for quite a number of years on trying to find really, really great space for that to happen. And, you know, all the things that you would think you need, you know, to be on the bus line and to have really good parking and to have good visibility and be on one level, all of those things can be a challenge to find. So we have finally found this space, as you said, in Brewer, and we're going to be opening this fall. We're finishing up the final phase of construction right now, and we'll be in the Twin City Plaza. And as you mentioned, the name of the center is called the Durgan Center, named after Nelson Durgan, who was a longtime board member of Eastern Area Agency on Aging, was our board president actually for a period of time. And for anyone who knows Nelson, knows how ingrained in the greater Bangor community that he was, and what a champion he was for older adults in general. And we're honored to have the center named after him, and just so excited for that to open this fall. So we're fundraising. I put that plug in. We're still fundraising. So if anybody wants to go to our website and find out more about the Durgan Center, or of course make a donation, the information is right on our website, and we're really, really looking forward to it.
Well, and that is fantastic that you're naming it after somebody like Major General Nelson Durgan, who way back came out of Belfast to Bangor and was a member of the Bangor JCs, had been the Adjutant General under Governor McKernan, had served on the Bangor City Council for years, as well as serving on the planning board of the city of Bangor, was involved in just about everything you can talk about, including chairing, been on the board of the Bangor Chamber of Commerce and chairing Hot Stove League get-togethers of the Bangor Chamber. And I guess we could go on, but to the point that you've named it after somebody who did dedicate so much to seniors, I want to point out, you know this, Diane, but that he was the one on the Bangor City Council that made sure that we worked with AARP to help check some of those boxes that are important to make Bangor more of an age-friendly community. And you probably...
Yes, he was. Yes, he absolutely was. Nelson and I served on the Bangor, the one you're referring to is the Bangor Livable Communities Committee, which, as you said, is an AARP initiative around age-friendly and making Bangor as age-friendly, you know, for encouraging people of all ages, really, as it relates to walkability and events that are available and healthcare and employment. And Nelson was right in the middle of that, and as you said, brought that to the Bangor City Council very early on and stayed right involved with at the committee level right through the process, and just really a wonderful advocate.
You know, I got to go on just a little bit more on Nelson, just to share this too. We had a radio program before I launched Maine Seniors Magazine on Stephen King's radio stations, and Nelson was actually, as was Dr. Len Kay, the director of the Center of Aging for University of Maine, were co-hosts from time to time on that program, and actually helped with Maine Seniors Magazine with content and other things. In fact, Nelson actually, he and his wife Carla had gotten some photos from Paris Hill back on one of the earlier issues. And he was just, he participated at so many levels with so many things that, again, to name it, the Nelson Durgan Center is great. But I noticed, in addition to regular fitness classes, that you have everything from yoga to a cafeteria where you're saying, you know, you're welcome, come have a cup of coffee and play cards. What more can you tell me about the new senior center named after Nelson Durgan?
Yeah, we for a number of years have been offering, as you said, you know, exercise classes for people in the greater Bangor area. And during the pandemic, all of those classes, we moved to a virtual platform, so we were offering them virtually. And so we're really excited to be able to welcome people back this fall for in-person classes. But at the same time, we are also dedicating a room within the Durgan Center so that we can still do virtual classes, because we've been able to connect with so many people who, you know, live far enough away from the greater Bangor area that it wouldn't be convenient for them to travel in. But we still are going to continue to offer virtual offerings even after we open the Durgan Center. But there will be, there's a cafe area. As you said, we're going to be doing lunch. We'll start breakfast at some point, but we're going to start out with lunch. We'll have area for people to come in and play card games or just socialize. We want to do some enrichment activities. And we're open to hearing what the community would like that to be. You know, if it's a painting class, if it's a quilting class, We really would like to hear from the community what they'd like to see in that area. So it's we're excited to get it going, and we know there's definitely a need and a want in the community to make this happen, and we're happy that we can do it.
That is just great. It is very exciting. Thank you for all you do on behalf of our little crew here, Lynn and I at Senior Power, for all you do helping seniors every day through your leadership, Diane, at the Easton Area Agency on Aging. Thank you again.
Thank you, Diane.
Thank you.
So, David, if I want to listen to last week's episode, where do I go to do that?
All you have to do is go to seniorpower.me. That is seniorpower.me, short for Maine, seniorpower.me, and listen to your favorite episode of Senior Power. A favorite story of mine was written by one of our writers for Maine Seniors Magazine. His name is Hunter Howe, and the name of the story is A Place Called Camp. You won't see this place featured on the Travel Channel. There are no major airports nearby, no tourist attractions, no fancy hotels, no crowded restaurants, no taxis, no t-shirt shops, and no nightlife. It's a place found all over Maine, in the woods, in the mountains, on lakes, and along the coast. It's an uncomplicated place where folks go to seek freedom, to feel alive, and to enjoy the modest pleasures of life. It's a place where folks embrace tradition, a sense of sameness and a lack of pretension, a sanctuary away from the strangling stress of today's world. It's a place Maine folks call camp. For Maine folks, there are no better words than I'm headed to camp. The wharfs in canoes, kayaks, rowboats rest on their sides against trees. Holes in the screens repaired, cobwebs cleared, and the camp cleaned. There's a fresh, invigorating nip in the air, and the bean flannel shirt still necessary to ward off the chill in the evenings. The peepers have called in the spring. Loons glide by. A stern sentinel, like northern hawk owl, perches on a branch above. The fragrant scent of lilac soothe, and the evening cricket, chirping chorus, sings, and the smoke swirling from the chimney satisfies. There's a comforting pace to each day. One rises early, brews the coffee, ambles down the path with their dog walking along to the wharf and the sunrise. The mug of hot coffee warms the hands. Across the lake, a meadow reaches upward to a pine forest. A lone fisherman, huddled over and enveloped in the mist, motors by. He nods, no words needed. It feels good. It reminds one of the lyrics, easy like a Sunday morning. A crumbling stone wall forms a loose boundary on one side of the property. A brook running fast forms the other. The rope swing and hammock sway slowly in the morning breeze. The porch provides entry to the lakeside view of the camp. A wood box with a dull axe ready for sharpening sits strategically outside the door. White flakes from worn wicker chairs sprinkle the sloping floor. A small four-screen sofa bed serves as a requisite nap nook, suitable for late afternoon snoozing with the dog. Fishing poles and waders occupy a corner. Wall pegs located by the kitchen door hold caps and coats. Although the porch is the cherished congregating area, it's the kitchen where the main gathering takes place. A frayed Betty Crocker cookbook shares space on the Formica countertop with a varied collection of tins for holding stuff, vintage yellowware mixing bowls, and cans of evaporated milk, an important camp staple. Camp food means comfort food. The chef prepares meals on a black 1910 home Clarion cook stove manufactured in Bangor, Maine. Breakfast is standard fare, often bacon and eggs fried in a cast iron pan, home fries and biscuits lathered in butter. The steady hum of the Frigidaire provides background music while reading the weekly gazette purchased at the general store. For lunch, there's usually a soup or a stew simmering on the stove. Suppers include franks and beans, spaghetti and meatballs, or chicken pot pie with a side of fiddleheads. The camp's outfitted with a mishmash of furniture and knickknacks found in antique barns and yard sales over the years. Numerous framed black and white photographs of four-masted schooners and fishermen standing in streams with distant mountains on the horizon decorate the walls. Only one bathroom off the kitchen services the camp, but not much time is spent there sprucing up. A wood-burning Franklin stove anchors the combined living room and parlor. Wooden skis, straps unbuckled and torn across on a wall. A Waterbury 8-day mantel clock requires winding. An oak bookcase contains a library of yesteryear. One shelf holds Look, Life, and Saturday Evening Post magazines and books, many books, including Horatio Alger series, The Hardy Boys and Nancy Drew. Another shelf holds Scrabble and Monopoly games, along with a cribbage board and a deck of bicycle playing cards. Cots used for guests stand folded against a wall. Camp's not a fashion show, so closets are tiny. Steep stairs lead to the second floor and three more bedrooms, a refuge for hitting the sack. After supper, light conversation, playful dickering and laughter commence. As dusk turns to dark, conversation ebbs and camp folks settle back in the soft cushions of their favorite chair with a Stephen King novel. The dog slumbers on the threadbare braided rug. It's a Norman Rockwell scene. Camp roots run deep, families passing them on from one generation to the next. There's something spot on about all this. Simply put, it's a good way of living. A tradition like none other. Wouldn't it be nice if we could all find a place called camp in the land of Maine? Thank you for joining us on this episode of Senior Power.
My insurance kept going up and up and up and up.
I was getting a lot of mail about Medicare.
I could never have navigated through the loopholes.
Mainers across the state are finding help at Senior Planning Center, which represents all major Medicare health plans.
Senior Planning Center was a lifesaver.
Senior Planning Center did it all.
Gave me all my options and signed me up with what I needed within an hour.
Call 223-6565. 223-6565. Help when it matters most. SeniorPlanningCenter.com.